If you were falling asleep at the wheel, I think that beginning of that song just woke you up, huh? You're driving, okay? Stay awake. You're listening to AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. I'm Todd Mickelson, sitting in for Matt McNeil, listening to the ads. Some of them in Minnesota, it's always hard on radio to make ads during the springtime because you always want to say, you know, now that the warm is here, celebrate spring and, you know, and all of that. And then the weather oftentimes in Minnesota doesn't cooperate. So we want to be talking about the weather, but, you know, the weather's not cooperating. So we're not going to. One good thing, I mentioned that we're going to switch over to Minnesota politics. The governor has done a great job navigating the state through the pandemic. We're at the top of most lists in the United States on how we've handled getting vaccines into people's arms and things like that. And of course, the Republicans have been trying to take away his emergency status beginning at the beginning of last summer. Now, of course, we can see that that would have been a huge mistake. And in fact, the governor's navigating the state through the pandemic is very highly approved by Minnesotans. And today he announced that summer can probably look more like a regular summer. And if we keep at the rate we're at with getting vaccines into people's arms, we're going to be able to have the state fair this year. Might be a slightly different version, but still, I know I'm not the hugest state fair fan, but whenever I do go, I end up loving it anyway. You know, I love to get a corn dog. I also like to get the corn. Basically, corn cob on a stick is always good. So we'll be able to do that this year. And right now, though, in the up in St. Paul in the Capitol, we're coming to the end of session. There's 2 weeks left. It's supposed to end on May 17th. It's very unlikely that it will. And Republicans are doing all they can to make sure it won't. They seem to do this now as every year. They just throw sand in the gears in the last couple weeks before a session ends, and it always makes it go longer. So it's very frustrating. But I have an insight on a few things going on that are very interesting that just are happening right now, just happened at the beginning of this week. And I was able to get an interview just this morning. So it's a very up-to-date update from Senator Aaron Murphy from the Minnesota State Senate. Let's listen to that. So here we are with Senator Aaron Murphy. I knew you back in the day when you were heading up the Minnesota House Caucus years ago when I ran. You were so helpful to me back then. Thank you. And thanks so much for being here. I know that your schedule is insane. So hello, Aaron Murphy.
Hey, Todd Mickelson. It is so good to be together again. And my schedule is busy, but no more busy than any other Minnesotans right now. So I'm delighted to join you. I'm delighted to spend some time with you, and we have done many years worth of good work together, starting when you first ran for the Minnesota House and going forward. And I expect more of that in our future. So I'm thrilled to join you today.
Great. So much to talk about here. There's only 2 weeks left in the session or so. And I know that big news right now is that the Republicans are trying again to pass voter ID. Can you give us a little insight on what it was like to be a part of that probably very contentious and long talk on Monday?
So before the session began, Majority Leader Gazelka had expressed some interest in moving forward with this policy, voter ID, that Minnesotans resoundingly rejected in 2012. They went to the ballot box and voted against it as a constitutional amendment. And they were crystal clear that after listening to months worth of debate and understanding what it would actually mean to put this policy in place, that they said no. They said, hell no. And so that we're spending precious floor time right now debating that again is proof to me of the Republican Party's interest here in Minnesota, just like we're seeing across the country, that they want to limit access to the ballot and suppress the vote. The debate on Monday was wonderful from my perspective, in that our members came ready to talk about not just why this is the wrong policy for Minnesota, but we also spent some time talking about why it and how it disenfranchises voters, how the big lie that the Republicans have continued to push rhetorically has undermined people's faith in our elections, that our elections in Minnesota across the country are safe and secure. There is a known outcome to the last election. But more importantly, that big lie that Republicans continue to push, including Senator Newman, is what drove that insurrection on January 6th in our nation's capital. And we have to not only stand up for the truth for our fair and secure elections, but also to fight for what is true and right in this country. And that's what we did on Monday. And I was really, really proud of our caucus.
Oh, well, that sounds great, actually. I know Senator Scott Newman is the one who's trying to push for this. He said earlier in an interview earlier this year that he knows it's not going to pass. Obviously, the House is not going to pass any such thing. But he quoted saying, coming forward with the bill in 2021 will give the voters in the state of Minnesota one more opportunity to evaluate their elected officials and see whether or not their elected officials and those running for office support their views on any number of issues. So I think, I don't know, I see that as a DFL win. I think you probably agree because, like you said, Minnesotans already overwhelmingly voted against this back in 2012.
That's right. And I think we have to be really clear that the goal that they are trying to solve when they talk about voter fraud is about voter impersonation. That is the only issue that would be solved. And as we have done our research in Minnesota, there is no evidence of voter impersonation happening in the state of Minnesota. And so they're bringing a giant solution that would limit people's access to the ballot to solve a problem that doesn't exist in Minnesota right now, voter impersonation. And so I think we're right on the issue. I think we're right and with Minnesotans on this. But I also think that they're bringing a giant hammer so that they can talk about voter fraud, which is a part of their rhetoric going into the next election.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there was one instance of voter impersonation, and it was actually a Republican impersonating his own mother, who I think she had passed away or something. But I don't think there's any case of it in Minnesota.
Right.
Also, I know there was Senator Matt Klein. He challenged Senator Newman and said, okay, let's add to this that you have to declare that Joe Biden is the president, and they refused. And I know that the Republicans refused to pass a statement on that earlier in the session. So basically what you're seeing is Republicans refusing to admit that Joe Biden won the election. Is that true?
Yeah, it is true. And Senator Klein, my colleague, put that question directly to Senator Newman. And not only did Senator Newman not agree that Joe Biden is the rightfully elected president, but he contradicted a statement that he'd made earlier in the session about the purpose of this legislation. So I was really proud of Senator Klein for being direct with Senator Newman so that Minnesotans, if they were paying attention, and as we go forward, we will share that information. But to understand the purpose of this is not to protect the election, but instead about electioneering in the future.
Right. Yeah, pretty unbelievable the times we live in now. There was also something that people are pretty nervous about happened, I believe, yesterday in a conference committee. I know. Tell us again what conference committee that you are a part of.
I am serving on the Agriculture and Rural Policy Conference Committee, Agriculture, Rural Policy, and Broadband Conference Committee. I'm the lead Democrat on that committee in the Minnesota Senate, and happy to serve on that conference committee.
Okay, well, tell us a little more about how the broadband issue is going. I know back years ago, I think six, seven years ago, there was a commission that the governor put together, and they came up with a budget for broadband in every nook and cranny of Minnesota. And then the Republicans got in power and decided to fund it with $0. And there was such an outcry in outer Minnesota, outstate Minnesota, that they ended up having to compromise that. Has there been more? Are the Republicans still pushing against funding for broadband?
It's such a great question, Todd. In the committee, when we got our budget targets, the budget for ag is $40 million. It's all flat funding for the budget, $40 million dedicated to border-to-border broadband. The task force that you're talking about said that to meet our goals that we put into policy will require $120 million. Mm-hmm. So they have taken one more step, and it amazes me every time they take such a tiny step, because they claim to be the representatives for people who live in rural places, and yet this issue, which has just been highlighted and featured in the course of the pandemic, is something that they continue to nickel and dime. So in the committee, I actually moved an amendment that took that $40 million and said, if there's federal funding available, let's take it to 120 and get the job done. And they tinkered with it a little bit and accepted it. And we stretched that further on the floor in the debate to say, let's make that commitment real and say that we're going to use federal funds from the American Recovery Act for this purpose. And they declined that and replaced my language with a study. Mm-hmm. So they say they want to get it done. They're not taking the meaningful steps to do it, but we are in the Democratic caucus in the Senate. We are pushing very hard and believe if there's federal funding available for infrastructure and for broadband infrastructure, we should complete this job in this budget this year.
Yeah, as you know, I'm a small business owner. We are completely dependent on the internet. And so I wouldn't have been able to start my business if I lived in outstate Minnesota. And so just, I wonder how many people out there have an idea as good or better than mine to start a business who are unable to, not to mention all the school kids that really got hurt over the...
It is now critical, right, for business, for agriculture, for education, for higher education, for healthcare. We use broadband, we use the internet in all those modalities, not to mention how we have used it in the last year to stay connected in the course of the pandemic. So it is as necessary as water and as electricity, and that we aren't, you know, doing everything we can to complete that for Minnesotans is a real failure on the part of the Republican Party.
Yes, and I think in elections, I keep repeating that I think the DFL needs to capitalize on this issue more, because it seems to me, when you look at all the issues, the DFL is the pro-outstate Minnesota party. The Republicans are not doing anything in the best interest of outstate Minnesota. I need to let you go soon. I just wonder if you have, I was going to ask you about what happened yesterday in the Environment Committee, where all of the sudden the Republicans announced that if the MPCA does not drop their clear car rule, which is a very popular thing here in Minnesota, they're going to not put up funding for a bunch of agencies. I have a list here. They have to do with, the Bowser, the Board of Water and Soil. They keep water clean. The Minnesota Zoo, the Science Museum, the Department of Natural Resources. They're not going to allow funding for any of those agencies. Can you explain a little bit what that's about?
I can. We have, over the years, Todd Mickelson, the legislature has become much more of a leverage-oriented body. And so when we get to this point in the session, people make enormous claims saying, we will not do X unless you give us Y. And we're seeing it in a variety of places as we get to these last couple of weeks. The clean car rule is a good example. We won't fund the state agencies or these things that Minnesotans care about unless you give up something that we disagree with. By the way, there are a lot of Minnesotans who support the clean car rule, lots and lots of Minnesotans who are looking for answers for a more sustainable climate. And this is one of the ways that we can move that policy forward, move toward sustainability in our climate. So they're trying to trade climate sustainability for funding for the things that Minnesotans care about. And I think that's a really bad trade-off, and it's a terrible negotiating strategy, but we're seeing it over and over again in this body. The other really clear example to me is the continued use of leveraging emergency powers, which I will say, you know, nobody's enjoyed this last year. It's been painful. We've lost a lot of lives. But those emergency powers have helped us navigate a global pandemic that we've never experienced before. So it's kept people alive. We have used tools to keep people safely in their homes, like that eviction moratorium, a mask mandate, et cetera. And I know it has been a bone of contention between the administration and the Republican Party, but to continue to use something like the clean car rule or emergency powers and saying, we're not going to do anything else. We're going to just hold here. It doesn't matter the consequences until you give in, mm-hmm. is a kind of negotiating that really feels a little bit like hostage taking.
Yeah.
And I think we have more in us than that. We don't have to be that brutal. But brutal, I would say, is the way that they're negotiating right now.
Yeah, it seems to me the Republicans think that they're holding the DFL hostage, but in reality, they're holding all Minnesotans hostage. This would close down all the state parks at the end of June. That's what they're threatening to do. At a time, I know Kelly Morrison was in that conference committee, and she said, you know, the parks are even more important now when everybody's so exhausted over the pandemic. They need to get out to the national or the state parks.
That's right.
Right in July. So,
listen, the good news about it, Todd, I'll just say before we go, the good news is that Senator Ingebrigtsen made it crystal clear. He made it crystal clear for anybody paying attention that this is the price that we expect. We will close the state parks. We'll close the zoo. We will shut down this part of government unless you give up this policy piece that you think is important. I'm glad he made it so clear for Minnesotans, because then they can evaluate and judge.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, I should let you go. I see it's 9:30, and I think you have more fun to get back to.
I do.
So thank you so much. I'm so glad that you're in the Senate now, watching you move around different places and finding you now in the Senate is, I think, really great for Minnesota. I've always seen you as being a really tough, hard worker and fighter. And thank you so much for all you do in the Senate. And thank you so much for spending this time when you have such a hectic schedule here at the end of session.
Thanks for including me, Todd. And I'm happy to visit with you anytime. Thank you so much for everything that you're doing for Minnesota.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. We're going to take a short break, and we'll come right back and review some of the Aaron Murphy interview.